tips for getting jobs in Canada and immigrating to Canada, as well as insights for employers who are considering hiring foreign workers. Although the conversation is mostly in English, you can expect a few sentences in French and in Spanish. Now let's get right into it. Hey everybody, welcome to Bernie Chats. We're recording this one for jobsincanada.com. And with us today, we're joined by Gabrielle Leal Vasquez, who runs Pathways Immigration and Recruiting Canada. He's based in New Westminster, British Columbia.
Hi, Bernie. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you, everyone, and to talk a little bit about these topics, that is how to find a job in Canada and how to get a work permit. Exciting to be here.
Sounds great. And I could have mentioned in the introduction, you were raised in Mexico.
I was raised in Mexico. I came to Canada in 2012 with my family, right, with my wife back then.
Great. So it's always interesting to hear a little bit of the background. And you've traveled a fair amount around the world, it sounds like. We have something in common. We both speak French.
Oui.
And I speak a little bit of Spanish. Est-ce qu'on peut parler en français un peu?
Oui, on peut parler en français si vous voulez. On vient. J'ai eu l'opportunité de voyager un peu. J'étais à la France avec un étudiant, aussi à la Chine avec un entretien de travail, et okay, à Canada.
Parfait. Est-ce que vous avez des clients qui parlent français de la France, par exemple?
Plus de mes clients sont hispanophones. Du Mexique, de la Colombie, de le Chili, l'Argentine, mais d'accord, pas beaucoup de la France ou d'autres pays qui parlent français.
S'il y en a des gens qui parlent français, peux-tu les aider?
Oui, avec plaisir.
En français?
En français, oui.
OK, d'accord. Bon, parfait. So everybody, we just said that Gabrielle can serve people in French. And as you can see, he's got a good command of the language. So it's something to keep in mind as well. So what part of that we're going to leave in, I have no idea, but it's there. And certainly, so you have a fair amount of clients coming from, I would imagine, all over the world, but mostly from Latin America.
Yeah, most of them are from Latin America. And that's mostly because of the clients that I have had. They refer more clients and they are from those countries, right? And that's how it has become. And I have good partnerships with some people in these countries that's how we have been growing. And it's my natural kind of say market, if you want to mean it like that. A little bit of me, I'm a regulated Canadian immigration consultant. So what, right, I do is I help people finding information about how to come to Canada and how to do a work permit. I do all the applications, I do consulting, and that's mostly what is my job with the people that seek to come to Canada.
And now, are you helping both job seekers and employers as well?
Yes, there are some employers that contact us because they do have a person that wants and can do the job, and they are looking how can they give a work permit to this person. So we can work for either the employee, the job seeker, or the employer.
So why don't we start a little bit with the employer? We'll talk about that a little bit, that side of things, and then we can transition to the job seeker side. And of course, you're based in British Columbia, so we can kind of have a British Columbian flavor and talk a little bit about British Columbia. So if somebody is an employer, somebody listening to this is an employer, and right now, from what I'm understanding and what we're hearing in the news, it's very challenging to find the right employees for the right fit in certain positions in Canada. And my understanding is that the doors are a little bit more open right now to foreign job seekers, or at least in the mindset of employers, that they're willing to look a little bit more outside of their normal scope. Is that what you're getting as well?
There is a huge need of workers, right? The general way to bring a worker is to do what it's called an LMIA, which is a labor market impact assessment. So this, right, is the norm, and this is what most of the employers know. So some of the employers are not aware how to bring someone. They don't have really an idea. And that's they are different ways depending the position they want to offer. One of them is a labor market impact assessment, where the employer has to show that they did an effort to hire permanent residents or citizens. So this is a little bit challenging, but in some positions, it's, you just have to prove it, and it takes about a month to 3 to 4 months to have an employer.
So if I can help unpack that a little bit, the employer has to show that they've tried to hire a Canadian, so that they're not taking a job away from a Canadian, that a Canadian is ready here and willing and able to fill.
That's right? Correct.
What other kinds of considerations do employers in British Columbia specifically, and what other kinds of assistance is available or programs are available for employers in Canada, in British Columbia, to make it easier for them, or what kind of concerns should they watch out for?
Okay, so that's a lot of
things
in one thing, because there are several ways, and everything is related to two things. What is the position that they are offering, and the citizenship of the employee or the permanent residence? Because we have this great option that are with countries that Canada has an agreement, right? And countries such as Mexico, the US, Chile, Peru, Korea, Japan, Australia, there is a trade agreement that it makes the employer exempt of requesting an LMIA.
Okay. Oh.
So this is a good tool that most employers doesn't know. And if they seek employees from these or job seekers from these countries, they save a lot of time and money, and it make it easier.
So that's interesting. Canada, when I studied foreign trade, Canada had 5 international trade partners. And that wasn't that long ago. It was about 12 years ago. And now there's quite a few more. And I believe Colombia has a free trade agreement now.
Correct. Colombia and with the European Union as well.
Right.
That's for the whole country. It's an agreement that Canada has with these countries. And each agreement has its special professions or technicians that they can be a part of this. It's not everyone. It's not all the workers.
Yeah, and that's the part I was thinking about. So that's applicable to all of Canada. And what's an example of some of the kinds of occupations or workers that would fall under that category?
Okay, we can talk a little bit per country, because it's important to make the difference.
And
Country specific. And just a legal disclaimer, that this information that we are sharing is only for general purposes, right? It's not intended or replacing a legal consultation. If they want to seek more information, all the whole way of how the program works, they should seek a consultation, right?
Let me unpack that a little bit for you as well. I'm just going to add and reiterate that. So the information that we're talking about today is in generalities, and nothing is specifically applicable to any particular case. It's just a general broad understanding so that people listening can kind of get an idea, oh, that's the way it might work in my case. Okay, please go ahead.
So for Mexico and the United States, we have the CUSMA, right? It is the agreement that previously was called the NAFTA. It covers 63 professions. Some of them, the most common or popular, are accountants, architects, engineers, computer systems analysts, industrial graphic designers, geologists, chemists, a lot of occupations that are scientific related. So if the person is offered a job offer for this position for a Canadian employer, and this person is a Mexican citizen or a citizen from the US, they are exempt of this LMIA, and it could take about 2 to 4 weeks to get a work permit if everything is done properly.
Oh, wow. And that's in a case where the employer has already identified the employee, or somehow they've connected.
They connect
and they're aware of each other.
Correct.
Otherwise, an employer would have to go through some kind of a recruiting process, or an employee would have to somehow find an employer that is willing to go through the process. How would that work?
There are different ways. Sometimes the most common is people that are already in Canada, like students, they, in their part where they work part-time, their employer says, oh, you know, I would like to hire you full-time. Is that possible? And if this job falls within these professions, then we do this work permit. It's the most common way. For people that are outside of Canada, it happens as well, but it's a lot of more of work, right? They do mm-hmm. need to have some skills that mm-hmm. are interesting for the recruiters in Canada. And then right. they can introduce how can this employer obtain a work permit for them. Mostly it's the work of the job seeker to show the employer. If the employer is seeking this kind of professionals from these countries, then mm-hmm. they do need to look for someone that it's knowledgeable about these countries.
So there are already people here who might not be citizens, but have student visas and other legal ways that they would be here. And these people, if they have the qualifications, if it's a fit with employer, the employer could do that more easily than somebody from out of the country and skip the labor market impact assessment.
That's a big thing. So that's for citizens of Mexico and the United States. For citizens of Colombia and Peru, it's a little bit different. Most of the professions are included, except some of them, right? So it's more open. And the ones that are excluded, so when we say a profession in this agreement is what we call a NOC 8 or 0, right? It's professional level right. or managerial level. And some of the occupations that are excluded are those that are within the health, education, and social services, right? So, mm-hmm. and there are some technicians that are included, like mechanical engineering technologists and technicians, industrial engineering, graphic designers, interior designers, and one important is chefs, right? So this is a little bit different how it changes a little bit one country to another. We have also for Chilean citizens or permanent residents from Chile, also from Colombia, permanent residents are included, which is a big thing for some. For Chile, it's similar to the CUSMA for regarding professions.
Okay. And so you mentioned chefs. So one of the things that I was going to ask next, and maybe this chef kind of segues into it, is what if somebody is not a professional? Maybe they're a little younger. Maybe they're thinking of going to university, but they haven't done it yet. You know, what pathways can they take? Nice pun, right? What yeah. pathways can they take? And well, and also a chef seems like a natural one because somebody could plan their career as partly what it would take to get into Canada and live in Canada legally.
Correct. So the person that it's outside of Canada looking to come and end up working, they have the mm-hmm. opportunity to come and study. They can study a program for 1 year or 2 years. And this program, if it's eligible for a postgraduate work permit, once they complete their studies, full-time studies, they will get a work permit that can be up to 3 years. Within mm-hmm. these 3 years, they have to find a job that will give them, there is an NOC 0 A or B, if they intend to become a permanent resident in the future. So that's one of the easiest ways for some to come and have the opportunity to have an international experience, to have a diploma from Canada that is very important for the labor market back in these countries as well. So you are winning two things, an international diploma and then work experience in Canada.
Great. Great. And in British Columbia here, do we have any programs that might stand out over and above the national programs or any initiatives for job seekers and employers? What's the best pathway there and what's the best opportunity for employers?
Correct. We have what is called the BCPNP. It's the Provincial Nominee Program for British Columbia. Every province has their own programs. In British Columbia, has two interesting ones that for this subject, well, a couple actually. One is for skilled workers, right? The skilled worker is that one that has 2 years work experience in the profession that is being offered. And how it works, they need a job offer as well from the employer. And with the qualifications of the job seeker and the job offer, we do an assessment and it will give you a point, right? Let's say 60 points, 80 points, depending their English level, their education, their work experience, their salary, the location of the job. Mm-hmm. And we submit a profile to the BCPNP as a skilled worker. The person can be outside of Canada. The employer has to demonstrate that they were not able to find a Canadian or permanent resident in Canada. It's not with the same It's not as strict as a labor market impact assessment, but it's a little bit similar. This is a route towards permanent resident, right? So once this person creates his profile, they could be invited by the province, they can be nominated by the province, and they will get a work letter, a work permit, a letter that will help them to obtain a work permit and then become a permanent resident. So that's for skilled workers that are not, or that are already in Canada, either way, it's different profiles. But there are another options for healthcare workers, for international graduates, international postgraduates, and entry-level and semi-skilled workers. So it's different areas depending the profiles of each one.
And what about the caregivers? You're saying caregivers?
Or... For caregivers, there's a pilot program.
Right.
Which is a... couple 1 or 2 years. It's a little bit challenging nowadays because it's only offering about 2,500 places for caregivers and 2,500 for caregivers for the elderly.
Right? Okay.
So it's already backed up. They have more than what they can afford to give these places. This is a program for the permanent resident as well. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so demanding. Sometimes it might take them 1 or 2 years to be able to come with an open work permit. And they are doing some revisions to this program. We will have to see in the future how it goes next year.
On the employer side, are most of these care homes, daycares?
Families. Mostly families.
They're mostly private families.
Yeah. So it's a family that needs someone to seek after their kid or after their parents, let's say. And they have someone that meets the qualifications. It's a little bit, now the person that wants to apply for this program has to show that has a certain level of English and that has a post-secondary diploma.
Okay, great.
If they have this and the employer gives them a job offer, then they could apply. They need to meet other requirements, but they could apply. And then they need to wait probably a year or 2 years to have an open work permit, come to Canada, open work permit for the profession, come to Canada and work as such. Once they get 24 months of work experience, they could become a permanent resident.
Okay, great. And so I'm thinking there's probably a lot of confusion. What I see anyway, running jobsincanada.com, is there seems to be confusion among a lot of people out there about, you know, should I just take a flight to Canada? Should I just come to Canada and find an employer? He's going to hire me. You know, what do you recommend there? Because I'm guessing that you're going to say that they should stay in their country until they know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. What do you recommend to somebody who really doesn't have a clue? Maybe they're young, maybe they don't have a serious credentials in any given profession. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend for somebody like that?
Yeah, it's always a good question. And it's a very common question. And it's hard to answer because you need to know the person and you need to know yourself. Like, who are you? How do you work? What motivates you? Are you going to do your job looking for a job in your home country, or you will be doing that better in Canada? And what will that cost you? The most important thing, what do you need to work in Canada? And that's the language, right? Yes, there are some jobs that you could do with minimal knowledge about English, but in general, that's going to help you to move forward, to have a good interview. So you have to be studying English, and it's not enough what we could say, I'm a proficient in English in my country. Once you come to Canada in an English environment, it's not the same. So the first thing, read magazines, make a subscription to a newsletter, news magazine, paper in Canada. So you get to know more the language in Canada and get to know more the culture, the businesses, what's going on over here. That will help you to have a topic into an interview. That's the first thing, right? The second, what do you want to do in Canada? What kind of job? And you have to realize that you will have to try to look for a job that is not exactly the same that you might be doing in your country. You have to start 2 or 3 steps before so you can get there later on, right? So you might need to get an entry level. Once the employer knows you and they know you know how to do the job, you could be promoted, or you have experience in Canada and you can look for another job that is more towards your professional objective, right?
When you're saying look for another job, you mean in a given amount of time with an employer, right? Like you probably Correct. Have to be with your initial employer. You might have to be there for how long?
Let's say at least a year, because less than a year sometimes doesn't look that great, right? Mm-hmm. So once you have a year of work experience, you're good with your employer, and you can you have enough experience in the job market in Canada, and then you can try to look for something else, right? Sometimes it's easier to find a job if you have a job. The first thing also, what you were talking, come here or stay. If you come to Canada, most of the work to find a job is online, right? And you have the resources. It's sometimes easier doing the looking for a job in here, because you can go to some centers like work visit centers, and they help you find a job to permanent residents and citizens, but it's often also for people that holds a work permit, and they have a lot of resources or the libraries. You can access all these also in internet. So one big tool is LinkedIn, right? That's how you can do your networking, find people that have a job that you're looking for, and ask them for an interview, right? Just ask them general questions about their job, their company. Try not to be too needy. We call it like that. Don't be too needy. Just in a friendly way. Share your experiences in your country. Ask them for insights about this role. How challenging is it for someone? But the first important thing is the job that you're looking for. Is it regulated or not? And what does this mean? Regulated profession is like a nurse, like an engineer, like an architect. If you need to sign documents for an engineer, if you need to sign documents like diagrams or things like this, you have to, it's a regulated occupation. But if you don't need to sign documents as an engineer, then you can find a job as such, right? So that's the first thing, get to know what you want to do, if that profession is regulated or not, and find a body that regulates your occupation. And you can connect with this body in Canada, and they can help you find a way how to become an engineer in Canada. You might not get there, but you will know the path, and you will get some courses, and you will get more insights, and probably more things will come your way regarding your job search.
Cool. So one thing that we should probably qualify, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you say people doing a search here in Canada, you're talking about people who've come in legally. They have some kind of a visa, some kind of a student visa, something like that, right?
You have to have entered legally to Canada as a visitor, as a student, as a worker. But if you are not legally in Canada, you cannot look for anything, right? You don't have a future in Canada. You have to restore your status or go back to your country and come back.
Right. And so you have to... the bottom line is, if you're not here legally, then none of these resources are going to open their doors to you.
Correct. And if an employer opens and interviews you, they will stop once they know the situation, because they won't be able to move forward most of the times, right? Mm-hmm. Depending the specific situation, we have to analyze the specific situation, right?
Of course.
Very broadly. There might be cases where we can do a restoration if someone lost their status because they missed the time to extend their status or something happened, right?
Sure.
There was a big program like that in last year that they extended these 90 days that you have to extend your status for up to a year and a half. That is gone now. So it's very important for everyone that is in Canada to be careful of their status expiration and extend it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you have to do your homework. So one of the things that you mentioned before was about speaking English. Maybe you could just speak a little bit about the French side of the equation. Because obviously there's programs or people have similar entry access with French as well.
Well, French speakers have a lot of have good opportunities. This is a program for Francophones that make it easier to get a work permit, also to get a permanent residence, right? Or qualify towards Quebec to get a permanent residence as well. So those, we need to know the specifics. They have to find an employer that needs a professional in French outside of in Quebec or outside of Quebec. It doesn't matter. It's a federal program. And that's an exception to the LMIA, similar to the trade agreements in that regard.
Are there any categories of workers that are in higher demand right now, or that you're finding employers are asking about, or that you're finding are getting in easier?
Yeah. Well, a big one is cooks. There are a lot of needs for cooks in restaurants. Hospitality needs a lot of workers, and that's I won't say an easy one, but it's pretty common. It's happening often.
Right. And so what kind of experience and qualifications are they looking for? Are they looking for, you know, 2 or 3 years experience, or are they looking for culinary certification? What are they looking for?
All kinds. Sometimes you just need 1 to 2 years of work experience.
So that would be a minimum, is a couple of years experience would be a starting point.
Sometimes it could be even 1 year, as long as you have that experience and you can prove that. And the employer, it's okay with what you know.
So would you think that if I'm, let's say I'm Carlos and I'm in Colombia, and I think, you know, it'd be nice to go to Canada and see if I could make a go of it there. You know, would it make sense if he's 21 years old, let's say, to say, okay, I'm going to see how far I can get in the restaurant industry in Colombia, and then I'm going to apply to come to Canada, find an employer? And
yeah, that's doable. It's easier and better if they can come and study here and then find a job, right? Really, to be honest with you, finding a job being outside of Canada without a status in Canada, it's hard, it's tough that an employer will open their doors for an interview and then do all this process. Unless you are a good reference and they know you somehow. So the easiest way is to come to Canada, study a program, get a work, the employer will look for you, and then they will help you out with the work permit. That's what it's most of the times, really few times is when the employer didn't know them and they are outside of Canada.
So probably a good objective is to say, okay, I'm Carlos in Colombia, and what I think I want to do is go study culinary arts in Canada, or take a college level course in food preparation.
Correct. That's a good start. Sometimes they can come just, let's say, for a study English, 6 months, couple of weeks. They cannot work, but they are in Canada. They're improving the language. They can get around, and they can ask for interviews. They are allowed to seek work. They are not allowed to work. So once the employer knows them, and then they say, okay, I will give you the opportunity to offer you a job, then let's do this LMIA. And then it will take some time, but it's easier when the employer connects with them.
Yeah. So if you're here studying and you meet a restaurant owner who likes you, then that's a good thing.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a good step. Okay. Great. Well, that's great, Gabrielle. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we go, do you want to say a few things in Spanish? Do you want to, should I ask you a couple of questions in Spanish?
Por supuesto, con mucho gusto.
Okay, Gabriel. Si la gente en America del Sur quiere saber una manera a entrar en Canadá para trabajar, ¿cuál es un ejemplo, una manera, por favor?
Okay. Una manera es venir a estudiar, posteriormente obtener un permiso de trabajo. Mientras estás estudiando, puedes trabajar. Otra manera es que el empleador te ofrezca una oferta laboral, conocer el puesto que vas a ejercer, conocer si es parte de algún tratado o cómo podemos obtener este permiso, y a través de ahí realizar el trámite.
¿Y quiere decir algunas de su y su empresa?
Claro. Bueno, nosotros somos Pathways Immigration and Recruitment Canada. Estamos establecidos aquí en New Westminster, la zona conurbada de Vancouver, en la beautiful British Columbia. Llevamos alrededor de 4 años apoyando a estudiantes, a trabajadores, a residentes permanentes realizar sus sueños. Normalmente la manera en la que trabajamos es, primero realizamos una consulta para conocer tu perfil, saber qué caminos puedes tener, si a lo mejor tienes un perfil en demanda, una profesión, digamos, en el sector de IT, ingenierías de la información, que puede ser más sencillo encontrar un trabajo, porque estos son puntos más específicos de alta demanda, que es prácticamente lo mismo en cualquier parte. En base a eso vemos, ok, estos son tus caminos, o si queremos estudiar y posteriormente ya planteamos un proyecto para ti. O si ya tienes algo en mente, lo podemos trabajar, o si es un empleador, nosotros te podemos apoyar con este link con el empleador para explicarle las maneras de apoyarte y obtener un permiso de trabajo.
Posiblemente es una buena idea hablar un poquito de la lengua, inglés, francés, que es importante. Si tú quieres hablar un poquito de este.
Claro. Un punto clave es el dominio del idioma. Nunca acabamos de aprender un idioma. Entonces es importante continuar, practicar a diario, haciendo cosas que te gusten, escuchando música, leyendo un libro, una revista, una noticia. Hablarlo en voz alta si no tienes con quién practicarlo, pero es esencial un dominio del idioma, tanto para encontrar un trabajo como para tu vida social en Canadá y posteriormente una residencia permanente, si es lo que estás buscando.
Gracias, es importante porque nuestro sitio de empleado, jobsincanada.com, recibe mucho tráfico de América del Sur, de los países México, Colombia, Perú y otras.
Excelente. Pues son precisamente estos tipos de tratados. Un punto importante. El resumen, que le llamamos en Canadá, lo que es el currículum, es tu carta de presentación. Y toma tiempo tener un resumen adecuado, ¿sí? Los puntos claves de tu resumen no es el mismo que el currículum que vas a usar en México o en Perú o en Colombia, ¿no? Hay puntos muy específicos que no debe de llevar un resumen. Por ejemplo, el sexo, la edad, una fotografía no es común en Canadá, ¿no? Y cero errores gramaticales. Entonces es muy importante que si tu lengua materna no es el inglés y no estás seguro de la preparación de tu inglés, de tu resumen, de ver a algún profesional que te apoye a pulir este resumen, ¿no?
Y en nuestro sitio tiene servicios para translación de resumes, de CV, y explicaciones de ese sujeto, de los mejor manera de construir un resumen en Canadá. Y gracias para su paciente con mi español.
Correcto. De hecho, tuve la oportunidad de ver un par de videos. Son buenos videos, son buenos consejos. Es importante seguirlos y no confirmarse con un resumen, ¿no? Siempre ver opiniones. Si no estás encontrando una respuesta, reestructurar tu información, a ver qué se podrá mejorar, por qué no están funcionando las cosas. Una carta de presentación es muy importante, lo que le llamamos una cover letter, al juntarla con tu resumen. 2-3 párrafos. Y siempre el enfoque es por qué eres tú la persona adecuada para realizar el trabajo, ¿no? Esa es la respuesta. Y en tu resumen lo que quiere ver el empleador es qué experiencia tienes para resolver los problemas que el empleador tiene. ¿Por qué te va a contratar a ti, ¿no? ¿Qué es lo que sabes hacer? Y la respuesta debería ser lo que ellos están solicitando en su job posting.
Perfecto. Gracias, Gabriel. Is there anything else you would like to say in English or in Spanish before we sign off?
Well, it was a pleasure to be here. I really hope that this information helps you somehow in your pathway to Canada. It's a really beautiful country. It's not easy. You have to put time and work. It needs a work sometimes of 2 or 3 years or more. Yeah, it's a big dream for a lot of people. And you know, sometimes what I tell them as well, it probably is not for everyone, but also you will never know if you don't try it. And it's always a good experience, and it matures yourself as a person, as a professional.
For sure.
It's always a challenge, but it's very important to be well informed and know what you might face. It make it easier to move forward. You can come back and you will have more experience. Whatever it was your experience in Canada, if you didn't succeed, you will have more tools to go back. And the experience that you earn will definitely help you in whatever it is back in your country, as a person, as a family, as a professional.
Absolutely, just having more advanced English.
And the cultural experience, you know, it is a cultural experience because it really a lot of work in Latin America, it's with another companies, and then the exposure to so many countries in just Canada, so many nationalities and cultures, it opens up a lot of vision. And if someone mm-hmm. is an entrepreneur, even better.
Yes, for sure, for sure. That's great. It's interesting. Food for thought.
And you know, it's a life souvenir forever. Like if you go sometimes for a trip, you already have a nice souvenir for your life. When you experience a couple of months or a year, you will remember forever. It's beautiful. I like it living here. I've been living here for 8 years. So if it's your objective, you have to work on it. Nothing is for free. It's a long way ahead, but you can reach it. And once you reach it, it will be rewarding.
Yeah, it's definitely have to expect work and to put in the effort and work your way up, because usually you're not going to start at the top unless you are a highly trained professional.
Correct.
So with that, Gabrielle, how can people reach you? It's probably a good idea if people are trying to sort this all out that they speak with a professional and get an idea of some, I guess, grounded reality from somebody with some experience and obviously the qualifications.
Sure. They can send us an email to info@patsimmigration.com. Probably you can share the email. It's
sure.
info@patsimmigration.com.
Thanks so much for doing this, Gabrielle.
My pleasure, Bernie. It's good to be here with you. It was a nice connection.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good. I really appreciate it. I hope I think there's a lot of good information there. So I look forward to keeping in touch. And sure. Thanks so much for doing this, taking the time in the evening here.
Anytime, Bernie. I'm a pleasure to help.
Okay. Gracias. Hasta pronto.
Hasta luego. Au revoir.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Au revoir.
And that concludes this Bernie Chats for jobsincanada.com. Please feel free to subscribe, like, share, and comment. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. I look forward to seeing you on the next Bernie Chats for jobsincanada.com.